The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on The Gathering Radio Show.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Gathering Radio Show here on the Para-X Radio Network. And this is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie.
And here we are on another tricky Tuesday.
Tricky Tuesday. That it is.
I won't take credit for that one. That was Sarge, our producer. We were chatting before the show, and he came up with Tricky Tuesday. And I think it's a good one because
I do too.
It has been tricky with the full moon this last weekend. Man, it's been throwing people for a loop.
This one
has.
Yes, I think so. It has been a trickster moon for sure. You know what I mean? And it's the warm moon. I don't know that should be, but there's just been so much chaotic energy everywhere anyhow, don't you think? So it just kind of just added to the bunch, you know?
There's a lot going on. Yeah.
But it was beautiful. It was a beautiful moon. Oh my gosh, it was bright.
It was lovely. It was really nice. It was very clear. It was not blocked by any clouds, which was nice. No. And we could wear short sleeves, basically, the last couple of days. Not today, but... So that's a weird full moon for March, at least here in Minnesota. Not that I'm going to start talking about the weather, but
no.
So you can look at a full moon in March in Minnesota in short sleeves. That's a big deal.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And Karn is saying gale force winds and flurries. You know, up in the northern half of the state, it's like totally different than what it is down here.
It is.
They say they're still walking on the ice on lakes up there, and our lakes are free and clear, you know?
Yeah, it's like a different part of the world.
Yeah.
Well, it is a different part of the world.
Yes.
But you know what I'm talking about, like a lot farther away than it is.
Well, and I got a funny story to tell. So the ice went out on Silver Lake last week. I'm guessing first part of the week. I don't know. But I had Melly, whatever day it was that rained so much, was that Thursday or Friday? I just don't remember now because the days are all running together. But as soon as it stopped raining, we went down to the park, and lo and behold, they had already put out the docks. So the boat dock was out, and so was the big fishing pier, which they're always there, but they let them drift, you know, in the wintertime. So they had them all set up and you could go out on them. And so Melly and I walked out on the boat dock, and I happened to look the other way for like 1 minute. And Melly jumped into the water. Let's make this clear. Melly does not swim. She can, but she prefers not to. She doesn't like the lake.
I would imagine she's more like an anchor than a swimmer.
Well, because she has those short little legs, right? And so
she's a body of a barrel.
I know. And so I look, I heard this big splash, and I look over, and there she is under the water because, you know,
I'm quite sure she was under.
I mean, it's at least 3 to 4 feet deep there, right? And where we were. And these people that were on the fishing pier were all just looking with their mouths, you know, wide open, like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And Melly was like trying to get out. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I mean, can she swim? I don't even know, you know? And so I grabbed the leash, you know, and I kind of pulled it so she'd come up out of the water. Poor girl. She just didn't know what to do. And then I just held it really tight, you know, and walked with her. And she made it, you know, she dog paddled, you know, and we did get to the shore. But oh my God, she was like, can you imagine how cold that water was, first of all, because the ice had just gone out? And second of all, she's never done that before. But you know what I think? I think she thought it was a very calm day. And I kind of think she thought maybe it was ice. You know, there was still ice because we've been going out on the ice all the time. You know, I don't know. But oh my gosh, I called Casey and I said, Casey, you got to come here and get this dog because she is soaking wet and I want to go see the owls. So Casey came, got her, brought her home, put her in the tub. Oh my God, she was mad. But I have never seen anything. And the poor girl was terrified, right? She was just terrified. So, but anyway, so that's my funny story for the week. Because, oh my goodness, poor Millie.
That must have been a shock and a half for her.
Well, yeah. And
well,
so
and you.
Well, yeah, for me, because I was horrified. I'm like, do I have to get in there? And that, you know, it's like 32 degree water or something, you know, but I was able to get her out. But yeah, I'm just like, so yesterday we went and I thought, I'm just going to see what she does, you know, and she did not jump off. I'm surprised she actually went out on the, actually we went out on the pier, but she could have still jumped off that. But yeah. So anyhow, Lufta, we do need tequila. I love it.
Well, yeah, in the chat room, Mike said, because I put in the chat room, you know, here's another, and then I left it blank before the word Tuesday. So another blank Tuesday. So fill in the type of Tuesday you're having. And Mike in the chat room said Tequila Tuesday. And I went, we do need tequila then. You bet. That sounds like an amazing Tuesday.
Wouldn't that be fun? But, you know, we might get really, it might be a really super fun show.
It could be.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. But yeah, so.
If we could finish, I don't know if I'd finish if I was drinking tequila.
I don't know. You know, the older I get when I drink tequila, I lose an entire day of my life. So I don't like to do that anymore.
Yeah, I don't do much of any of that stuff. But it sounds like a good idea and maybe one little shot. But like probably not while we're on the air because that could be disastrous.
I agree.
Stephanie's yawning.
I know. I'm like,
okay. Welcome to another Tricky Tuesday here on The Gathering where Stephanie's going to fall asleep halfway through the show.
You know what? I haven't been sleeping well. And I do think some of it has to do with the full moon, you know, because that energy kind of gets to me. Last night I did sleep pretty good, though. But yeah, no. So I'm just, I don't know. There's just a lot going on right now, can I just say? But hooray, the shipment of stuff got shipped out to our condo in Friday Harbor today. So that is one less worry for me. So that's good. So what have you been keeping yourself up to, Heidi?
Well, let's see here. I was working this weekend and had another amazing shamanic breathwork on Saturday. That was in Elk River again. And so I was really excited to have to be able to host that again in Elk River. You know, it's fun to partner with Community Ed because we have the space to spread out because we still have to be very careful because of COVID. We're doing things in person as we see that it is safe. And so we were able to do a shamanic breathwork session on Saturday morning, and we held it in the cafeteria of one of the buildings so we could spread out. So everybody was over 6 feet away, I mean, mm-hmm. for the class, plus everybody's wearing masks and everything, and there was the hand sanitizer and all the good stuff. So everybody felt safe, and it was really moving. I mean, everybody that showed up really did show up. You know, they went all in on it, and it's so powerful. And I've heard from a couple of people that went through it that they would like to move it out into other areas of the community to have other people experience it. And so I'm really excited to start partnering with other people and show them how powerful shamanic breathwork can be in your own healing process. So, mm-hmm. so that was really great. But it does, you know, you talk about this full moon and you have a full moon this weekend and channeling energy for a shamanic breathwork. I felt like I got hit by a truck on Saturday night.
Yeah.
After the breathwork and with the full moon mm-hmm. energy. And Sunday I was kind of worthless that day too. Not as bad as Saturday night. By Saturday night, I couldn't do much. It takes me about a day to recover, but that first half day after a shamanic breathwork, because I put absolutely every ounce of myself into these things, because I really want to make sure that I give everything that I have to mm-hmm. everybody that shows up. Because a lot of the people that do it have never done it before.
Right.
And so I want to give everything that I have to it and, you know, provide the best possible channel for healing. And so, so it was cool, but I went, home afterwards and I thought, oh my goodness, I've got to just lay here like a lump. And it takes a while to, so Jerry in the chat room said, what breath work? Okay. Shamanic breath work. So I'm a certified shamanic breathwork facilitator. And what we do in these breathworks is we take music and a breathing technique, and we take art and traditional instruments and body work, which we're not doing the body work right now because of COVID, but we do body work normally in the breathwork session. And it's really about showing people how they can use all of these different modalities together in one form to connect with their inner shaman and connect with their soul self and ancient beings and ascended masters and spirit beings and healing beings and whoever else wants to show up for them for this work. And, you know, it can help with wisdom, guidance, healing, release, whatever it is that someone needs. And what's really interesting is we can go in with some kind of, you know, idea or intention of, you know, what, you know, if I do a breath work, here's what I hope to work on or whatever. Mm-hmm. And spirit goes, that's a good idea. You know, a lot of times you're like, that's an amazing idea, but we're not going to work on that yet. So not today. We're going to work on this instead for you. Mm-hmm. And it's always better, you know, because spirit knows what we need to work on. And even if we don't think we have a experience, we do. It's just, it's maybe in some other form that it may not be, we may not be aware of it until later on. But anyway, it's super cool. It's really healing and it's transformative for sure. So anyway, so there's the nutshell version for you, Jerry. But thanks. Mm-hmm. So thanks for asking and clarifying. But so that was cool. But it kicks me in the rear end afterwards. So need a little recovery time. But it's totally worth it because, again, bringing it to people who haven't tried it before is awesome. And then people come back and do it over and over again. I've done tons of them. And it's different every time you do it. And so that's what's so neat about it, is that you get something different out of each time. And I don't know. It's cool. So.
Yeah. Awesome. I love it. I'll have to come to one. I just have, whenever you have them, I just seem to have so many other things going on, you know, that I just don't have it free on my calendar. You'll have to give me a month or two in advance.
I've got them already set up through the rest of the year. So.
Are they? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, yep. Let me look.
Yep. I have to be planful this year.
Good.
You know, the whole COVID thing, you got to plan your schedule accordingly because we can't do as much because there's not as much to do. And we shouldn't be doing, really. We have to be careful. Right. So I want to be planful of the schedule.
Absolutely. So we were in, I went with the Sim crew to Humbird, Wisconsin, again, to do our reveal. And oh my gosh, the number of people that showed up to see this, it was amazing. So, you know, the owners and the managers that were there, we had some good stuff and unbelievable things, screams in the middle of the night, you know, EVPs, we had the I forget what they call that camera with the stick figures.
Oh, the SLS?
Yeah. We had so much evidence from that. And we had this, all these people were just, you know, unbelievable. They loved the validation because these people have seen this for years, right? They've heard it, seen it. So to have a team come in there and actually capture it, you know, and then share experiences, it was really fun. It was really fun. Cool. Can I just say it was just a riot and talking to people and, you know, it was just really fun. I can't wait to go back, honestly. You know, it was just awesome. And we're going to be doing tomorrow on The Calling. I'm going to be on as well as Jerry and the manager of the bar. We'll all be on along with Kim and Willow, of course. And we're all going to be talking about what we found. I hope, Jerry, I hope you're going to be playing some of those EVPs, especially that one at the end. Because that was quite amazing. And I asked Levi, who's the owner, I said, so Levi, have you heard, are you surprised? You know, because we did a live thing there and I was talking, you know, I was interviewing him kind of, and Levi said, yeah, no, I kind of hear that stuff all the time. And I'm like, because he sleeps up there. You know what I mean? And I'm just like,
That's so cool. Yeah. It's always fun.
It was really fun. So, yeah, so I've been really busy. So no wonder I'm tired. So it is a tired Tuesday for me, for sure.
Tired Tuesday. Yeah.
But anyway, so tonight, last week we kind of touched on the subject because we were, but we're going to talk about, you know, why do we think spirits hang around here, you know, mm-hmm. after they pass on? Because obviously they're not passing on, they're tethered here. So,
well, it depends. I mean, there's a couple of different ways that can go. Some of them could be kind of tied here, you know, stuck here. But I don't think they're all stuck
either. No, some people just want to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they come back.
Yeah.
So there's all sorts of reasons. So
I think when you pass away, even if you move on to the next level, you still have free will, right? So you can still come back.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we'll start with that because that's nice. It's the nicest option, I think. You know, where you cross over or you disconnect from your body. I mean, it's sometimes a one fell swoop and sometimes it's a process of disconnecting because things get kind of tangled and for whatever. But yeah, once you completely disconnected and you're free and clear and all is well, you have a lot of say in what you do. And, you know, some people don't, or, you know, souls, or when they leave their body, they don't come back. They don't want to, or they shouldn't, or they can't, or whatever. But if they can and they want to, I think a lot of them do. You know, there's all sorts of reasons why they would want to and, or should come back or feel compelled to come back. But yeah, it's interesting because when my dad died, I saw him right away for a long time, for a couple years after, and he died like 25 years ago, or is it 26 this year? I think it's 25. 26 this year, actually. So he came back quite a bit for the first few years, and we had some very interesting conversations. And then he just stopped coming around. And then there was a period for a long time he didn't come back. Like, I didn't see him. I couldn't feel him. I couldn't connect with them. And so we did what I call postcards. You know, we send postcards back and forth. Because I don't know what, you know, who knows where he was, what he was doing by then. Right. He was doing something else, right? He moved on. And I was like, okay, well, good, you know, good luck to you. I hope everything's good. So I just sent a postcard every once in a while, and he'd send one back. And then he came back again. But he's popped in a couple of times over the years. But there will be long gaps of time where you won't see not even anything from him other than you might get a postcard every once in a while. So I think it's good that they don't hang around forever,
right. You
know, or come in often because it's possibly, and yes. I do think it does keep them from doing what they're supposed to be doing fully if they just keep coming. And especially if we want them to show up and we keep asking for them to show up or wishing they would show up, we are kind of the ones that tether them here.
Yep.
You know, and so we just have to be okay with them, like, just
doing
go.
Their thing. So when you say postcards, what do you mean by postcards?
Well, it's, okay, so I'm trying to think of where I should start with this. It's super easy to talk about, but there's a reason that, so when I do medium readings for people want to hear from their relatives who've passed, right?
Right.
And I think there's a common misconception that mediums are there's someone standing in front of them every single time, a spirit, you know, there's a spirit standing right in front of me, giving me information direct from the horse's mouth, right? And sometimes that's the way it is, but a lot of times it's not. And so maybe some mediums think that they're right in front of them, but what are the odds that every single spirit is going to be just ready at the, you know, drop of a hat to answer your questions as soon as you have them or sit down or whatever.
Yeah.
So a lot of times the information is passed through your spirit guides or, you know, a translator or someone else that's kind of relaying the message. And they might even make themselves look like the loved one so that it really feels authentic, but it probably isn't. And because they're not available, and what am I going to do? Like, wherever my dad is, let's say it's my dad, you know, right? Wherever he is, I'm going to like holler until he comes showing up, right? I want to talk to him. It's like, that's just it's not okay, really, because he needs to be doing his thing, and he may not be available, and whatever, right? So what I do is I send him a message almost like I was writing a postcard, and without expectation of an answer, right? So I say it like, hey, Dad, how you doing? You popped into my head today. I'm wondering if you sent me a postcard. So I'm just letting you know I'm doing all right, or I'm not doing all right, or whatever's going on, right?
Yeah.
And here's what's happening, and I'm glad you're not here for it, or I wish you were here, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, anyway, love you. See you later, or whatever, you know, just and no expectation of an answer, right? Because I think that's where some people get caught up and maybe bummed, or someone else steps in and tries to answer because you're really wishing for some kind of response. Mm-hmm. And I don't expect a response like at all. And so it's like, I take that thought and I imagine sending it like a postcard goes shooting into the air and it goes off to wherever it needs to.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Yep. And then it's interesting because then you think, you know, I maybe it'll be a couple months later or something. And all of a sudden my dad will pop in real hard into my head. Like I get this, you know, energy of him. And it's like he received the message and he's sending one saying, hey, I got your message. I'm good. You know, keep me posted how you're doing, or I hope, you know, things are better now or whatever. And then it just kind of disappears. And so, you know, then I'll be like, oh, cool. I think he got my message. That's great. And then when I'm thinking about it someday again down the road, I'll send another postcard. So that's what I call sending a postcard, because we're not expecting an answer right away.
Right.
Because that can kind of it messes things up. I mean, it does.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, my dad was with me for many years, all the time. You know this. I haven't seen him much lately. So I kind of think, same as you, maybe he thinks everything's cool now. He can kind of step away and do what he needs to do because maybe Steffi doesn't need him so much anymore. Mm-hmm. But
yeah. Yeah. And that's good. We want him
and
to
And I have
go
not
on.
Asked for him to come back for sure, because I want him to do other things, you know. And I do know my mom's around too, which is interesting because for years it was really my dad. So it's interesting how they just kind of revolve, right? They just keep kind of coming and, you know, whatever. So I like the idea of spiritual postcards. Yeah, I think I got to do that.
Yeah, it's just, it's an easy way to say, hey, I'm thinking about you, but without the expectation of an answer.
Yes.
Because again, when I talk with people who are really broken up about someone who's passed on, they're just, they're not okay with it. And I understand the grieving process is, you know, extensive in some cases, and that's understandable. But if we, I've met so many people that want information right now, they will continuously ask for information even for years, because they're just not ready to accept that this person's gone, or they're afraid that what if they are gone? Like, what if I will never hear from them again? And that scares me too. There's all sorts of reasons, but it's at some point we have to let them go, because also, like I said before, there can be spirits that would step in too if you're you're just doing this on your own, or you're talking with someone who is in maybe not very strong medium.
Right.
Or, you know, that they don't know the ins and outs of this very well. So they, you know, could get tricked by someone who is not the actual person.
Absolutely.
And it's, that gets tough. That gets a little sketchy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So I do think, people when they pass away, they come back. Even if they've crossed over, you know, like we said, free will, they can come back anytime they want. And I do think they do. And, you know, Karen has an idea here in the chat room. She said, I wonder if spirits have to book flights or trains or use other transport to visit us.
Well, you know, I think there's something to that, actually, because there's, it's not so, you know, they're not just standing somewhere waiting for us to call them out.
No.
And they're not just like smooth and easy into a spirit place or another life and boom, it's just that easy. Like, we can't even comprehend what what this is all about.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that there's some setup that needs to happen, because now, like, my dad isn't even my dad anymore. He's a spirit. He's a soul of some, you know, kind, and he hasn't always been what I would imagine my dad to be. He was mm-hmm. something else before that, and something else, someone, something, mm-hmm. whatever, before that. So he's who knows what now, and that was his thing while he was here, was to be that guy. But who knows what he is or mm-hmm. where he is or what he's doing. And so I can imagine that there would be some system in place that's like, well, if you go back, you're going to have to do this, or we'll have to make this yeah. happen. I would imagine yeah. it's not just so yeah. easy.
Yeah.
I would think, it's not incredibly difficult, but it might involve some.
Yeah. Some, yeah. Some, you know, quite an effort. Karen is saying party lines come to mind. I remember party lines. You know, I don't remember having them here in the city, but when I used to go stay on the farm, they all had party lines. So, you know, you could listen to other people's conversations. You never said anything private on the phone. Back in the day.
I did not do that. I've heard of them. I didn't have access to them. So it's probably a good thing.
Yeah. Well, and we didn't have them. Like I said, we didn't have them here in the city because I grew up in the city. But, you know, and I used to go stay on the farm with my cousins. They all had party lines in the rural areas, you know. So you'd pick up the phone and you wanted to use it. And, you know, well, Audrey down the way was talking to whoever down the other way. Weird. And, oh, my, okay. What an earful.
Interesting. I would imagine if there was something like that, that would be easier than a spirit getting to standing in front of someone, you know, like, oh, so-and-so needs someone to be present because she's asking a medium right now about her. And that's where, I mean, that just, it doesn't happen. So the person might, you know, go through a spirit guide or make it seem like they're standing there, but they're not really. And I'll tell people too, when they're like, can you talk to, you know, find out about so-and-so. And I'm like, sure, they're not available, but I can give you information that they're passing on for you, you know, to have.
Yes.
And I know that's kind of a letdown, but I also don't want to make it seem like, well, yeah, they're standing right here when they're not, you know. And I see on some of the shows too, they're like, oh yeah, they're right here. I'm like, no, they're not.
No, they're not.
They're not right there. But I get how it feels better to think they're right there, but also you don't want them right there. You want them to keep going. So
you do. Anyway. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And then sometimes they're right there, you know, like a couple years ago, we were at my brother's house for his birthday or whatever. My mom was suddenly right there in the kitchen, just plain as day. I said, wow, there's mom, you know? And it was her kitchen, you know, at one time, cause he bought the family house. So yeah, that's amazing.
I think I told you guys, I think I told this on the radio show, or the time my dad came back, and actually my mom told me this was, I don't know, 5 years or something after he passed away, and he came back, and she was in her car, and she was waiting for a red light to turn green, and she was going to take a left, and there was a guy standing on the corner, just standing on the corner. He looked like he was going to go across the street waiting. He was also waiting for the red light, and when the light turned green, he turned and walked and cut in front of her car. So it's like he decided to go across the street against the light now. He, you know, so instead of turning green and going with her, he now cuts in front of her and goes the other direction. And she's like, what the heck? And she was like, what are you doing, man? Do you have a death wish? And so she had to sit there and wait for him. And as he gets right in the front of her car, this car goes zooming through the intersection. So if she would have actually pulled out when she had the green light, she probably would have gotten T-boned, and she probably wouldn't have made it because this guy was going really, really fast. And of course, this is before airbags were standard and all this stuff. So she would have gotten creamed. And she looks at this guy who's cutting in front of her car like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that just happened. If you wouldn't have cut in front of me, you know, this is all going through her head. Yeah. She's like shaking, whatever. And he turns and looks at her, and it was my dad. And then he disappeared.
Yeah.
And she was like, wait a minute. She just said she turned around and went home. She's like, I didn't even go to work. I was like, done.
Yeah,
I'm not going.
Well, yeah. Oh my God.
But yeah. And he came back for that. And I hadn't seen him for a while at that point. And he didn't come back for a while after that. But she didn't tell me right away either, because I think she was still shaken. Like processed. Yeah, it took her a while to tell me about it. Absolutely. But he came back for something like that. So I thought that was cool. And, you know, anyway. Yeah.
It is cool.
But,
it is cool.
Yeah,
and they sometimes come to us in our dreams. You know, I always think it's fabulous when I dream about my mom and dad, you know, or I dream about Duncan or one of the fur babies, you know, or somebody who's gone, you know. It's just fabulous. So yeah,
they can come back in our dreams. I think it's easier sometimes because we're a little bit more open
right
in our dreams.
Right.
Dream time. you know, that we have a little.
I remember once, I don't know, about 7 years ago, I dreamt, I don't even remember the dream exactly. It was a family get together, and mom and dad were both in it, right? And they were really fun. And I asked each of my siblings the next day, did you dream about mom and dad last night? Every single one of them did. Isn't that interesting? So cool. It was like they both came and visited all of us, you know?
Cool.
Anyway, so we are 30 minutes past the hour, so we need to go to commercial break. So this is the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network.
If you're looking for a truly unique podcast experience, we have you covered. Spirit Bayou with CJ Dunham airs live from the Third Coast in Southeast Texas on Tuesday and Fridays at midnight Eastern Time, covering Creole folklore and folk magic to strange paranormal activity to new equipment for the field. CJ Dunham is a Catholic swamp witch, a devotee to our Mother Mary in the Trinity, a true believer in our Lord, the Holy Ghost, and Christ. Peace be with your spirit and the spirits by you.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald from GHI, and you're listening to the Para X Radio Network.
In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock for Dark Sun Rising on the Para X Radio Network.
You haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid Of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction. We are ready to scare you.
Para X.
Welcome back to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network. And we're talking about spirits and why they're here and why they might stay, you know, after they've transitioned or left their bodies. So we have all sorts of good comments coming in through the chat room. And I was actually just telling a story before the break about my dad coming back after he had been gone for probably about 4 or so years, maybe it was 5. Anyway, he came back and stopped an accident from happening that my mom would have been involved in. And I'll tell you, I mean, they were divorced when my dad, they had already been divorced for a while, and my mom had been remarried for a little bit at that point, I believe. Anyway, so one of the questions that Karen asked in the chat room before, during the break, actually right at the beginning of the break, she said, how did he know the crash was going to happen? Well, I don't, you know, it's interesting because predicting the future, there's, when I look at a future for someone, there's usually, I'll say 10 just for an easy number. I'll say there's 10 options of what is possible, but there's degrees of likelihood for each one. So like this is a 90% chance, this is 80%, and it's not like I'm just using random numbers here, but there's this is the most likely to happen if everything stays as it is right now. This is less likely. This is possible, but it's the least likely, but it still could happen, you know, depending on how the wind moves or whatever. So my dad, you know, I'm sure the powers that be or whoever said, you know, this is likely to happen and we can't have it happen. And so that's probably, you know, they had to find someone. And I think also why him, because it added to other things that were going on in her world, things that she was trying to process that, you know, she wasn't necessarily ready to process when it comes to the spirit world. Mm-hmm. And her own abilities too. But so I think there's an extra reason that it was him and not just any random person, just a stranger or some lady she doesn't know, right?
Right.
Because she still would have stopped and waited. She couldn't tell it was my dad. And so she would have stopped to wait for anybody that was cutting in front of her. Obviously, as a pedestrian, you're not going to run him over. So, but I think that it was my dad was an extra piece to it that was part of her process that she was going through. So, but it was also, you know, this was not supposed to happen. And, the next question that Karen had, if we have free will, does interference in preventing the crash make sense? And I think, yeah, I mean, free will for all of us, you know, that was an option. You know, if that would have happened to my mom, she probably wouldn't have made it. Like I said, it was going to be a bad, really bad accident. And it could have been, you know, one of her exit ramps. She could have had that set up a long time ago as a possibility to leave, you know, when she was, you know, at certain points in our lives, I think we have opportunities to leave and we don't exactly know how it's going to happen, but, you know, it could be in a car accident, could be one of them. And so I think it might have been one of her exit ramps, but because of the situation with the, you know, our siblings and my youngest brother, I think at that point was only 17. And I don't know how that would have gone for him if he would have lost another parent that young. Because it was really hard for my youngest brother when my dad passed. So I think, you know, part of that was for more for him than for her.
Mm-hmm.
And not that he wouldn't have done it for her, because I know that he still cared about her too, you know, but anyway, so I think there's a whole bunch of reasons and there's a whole bunch of things we probably couldn't even wrap our minds around as to how that might have changed things and it might have screwed things up, you know.
Right.
But I think for the most part, it probably helped, you know, because there were other factors there that, you know, if it was supposed to happen, I think it would have happened, but there were enough beings lined up that said, we don't want this to happen right now. Mm-hmm. So it didn't. Mm-hmm. And anyway.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, but yeah, good questions on following up.
Yeah. I love it.
With that. Yeah.
Yeah. And like Karen is saying, the future is potential. Yeah, it really is. Because it could go many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Cool. Cool beans. Cool beans. So, what would keep someone here and not cross over, do you think?
Whew, boy,
I mean, I have a few ideas, but
yeah, there's a ton of reasons. Yeah. I mean, I think of just some of the paranormal investigations. I'll never forget. Mm-hmm. There was a guy I talked to, this was years and years ago, spirit guy. And he was sitting in a stairwell in an apartment building.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to him. We said, why are you here? You know, why are you just hanging out in this stairwell?
Yeah.
And I guess the apartment building used to be, you know, I think he lived there, or it was some boarding house back in the day. It was an older building. And he had stayed there or on the land. I don't know if it was the exact building, mm-hmm. but he was a soldier in the military when he was alive, and he didn't die in military, you know, he got out. And but when he passed away, he said that he was afraid to cross over because he thought he would go to hell because of the people he had killed.
Oh, sure. Sure.
And so he thought, I'm not going anywhere because I will be punished. And that was not true. He was not going to be punished for that. There's other things that we can do to atone if, you know, I mean, war is different. I mean, that's just different. And so I felt bad for him that he had been there, but he couldn't tell like how long he had been there. You can tell that, you know, he didn't know how long it had been. It didn't feel like how long it had been. Let's put it that way, because it's different in our human world than it is in spirit world. But he didn't want to go. And, you know, we had to talk to him about there's other things besides that. You're going to go and get healing.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's anything that needs to be worked on or whatever, then you can do that. But you're not going there, because that isn't
there.
Thing. It's not a thing. So anyway, so it helped. I mean, he wasn't there. By the end of the evening, I don't know if he just left or if he decided to cross over, because I can't make anyone cross over either.
Right.
But he was afraid to go, you know?
Yeah.
He was really scared.
Well, I can see that. And, you know, there's so many reasons. I mean, that for sure. I mean, you don't want to go to hell, right? If you believe in hell, who wants to go there, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, I guess it all depends. Now, like in the chat room, you know, like Jerry said, love, fear, addiction, confusion, haunted objects. Well, yeah, because some people haunt things that are, that's why whenever I buy things at thrift stores or antiques, they get a thorough cleansing and smudge before they come into my house.
Yeah. Some people are attached to items and their energy is so connected to their human experience that they stay attached to things, which could be a place. It could be an item, you know, a piece of furniture. It could be a piece of jewelry or whatever.
Yep.
Because they're not, you know, when I mentioned earlier about all the little connections that need to be detached and it gets kind of tangled.
Yeah.
Because some people are really, really attached to their human experience. Yeah. And some of it might be fear. You know, they don't think there's anything after this. So they're clinging to every little bit of humanness they can, you know, and that could be through items. And so, yeah, then they might be attached to the things. Who mentioned addiction? Jerry did. Yeah, I've seen that too, where someone is in a drug-induced state of some kind and they don't realize what's happening. You know, that, and it's sometimes their own drug use, or it could be prescribed drug use or medicated in a hospital or whatever can cause that as well. It doesn't always, I won't say that it always happens, but it can.
Yeah.
Because it can keep a soul, it's just, there's a confusion that happens that keeps someone from fully detaching.
Yep, I agree. And then what if, you know, what if people die suddenly? You know, they're not, it just happens. I think that they don't, they're lost, right? They don't know where to go, you know?
Yeah, trauma, a traumatic incident can definitely... it's like pulling the rug out for some under someone, and it just is a shock, and that can be a process then to detach.
Absolutely.
More that has to be detached, you know, the human and the spirit, the more that has to be untangled, the tougher it is to disconnect and go wherever you need to go.
Yeah, or violence, you know, if they were killed violently somehow, some way, you know, they just they don't know they're dead. You know, I think there's a lot of spirits out there who really don't realize they're gone, you know? Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, there's all kinds of, just all kinds of stuff. Dave asked a good question.
Yeah.
He said, do you think residual energy has the ability to be responsive to current situations?
That's a good question. It's hard because, I mean, residual energy isn't intelligent. It's not interactive.
It's just the same thing being done over and over and over. That energy just hangs there. That doesn't mean that the soul that had that is there, right?
Right, but it's still energy, and energy can be impacted or changed or shifted, or you know, it can be manipulated or altered. You know, there's things that can happen to it. It can fade, you know, over the years. It loses its strength. You know, I mean, my grandfather, when I was living with my grandparents when I was in college, he died in the house. Well, we were, I mean, of course we were living there. So, and I could hear him at night, get up, go to the bathroom every night, midnight, shuffle, shuffle, shuffle on the carpet. And, but it faded over time. I would imagine now it probably, I mean, that was 27 years ago, right? 28 years ago. So that's probably not happening anymore. Because that you kind of need that energy to continue. And it wasn't a traumatic event, him going to the bathroom, right? If there's a traumatic event, like someone's getting shot and that is replaying over and over, well, that might have a lot more energy than my grandfather getting up every night, right? So that might live on longer. You know, that energy might stay longer in a location because of the trauma that's involved with it.
Yeah, trauma. That's, for sure. You know, and Karin is saying, like, you know, what happens? She said, can you imagine the Holocaust victims that haven't moved on? I'm sure there's quite a few, right?
Or at least residual energy.
Yeah.
You know,
and their mass. Yeah. I mean,
I haven't been there, and I don't know if I would even want to go because I can't imagine what that would feel like. Although I would, you know, I'd pay my respects if I did have an opportunity to go there. But you hope that there's no spirits or souls there still. But I would imagine the residual energy is intense.
Yeah.
And that will probably be there forever.
Yeah.
Because the amount of...
Well, and influenza deaths. And what about tuberculosis deaths? I mean, we know for a fact that a lot of these old tuberculosis health facilities are just full of intelligent spirits. So they're still there. And I mean, TB, it's been 100 years almost, you know? So I do think they linger because they don't know what to do.
Yeah, definitely. There's some that are still... you know, they're confused or some don't want to go or they feel, I've met spirits who feel responsible for whatever it is that they're doing, you know, like their work. I'm not saying responsible for whatever. I mean, if whatever they did in this lifetime, that they want to keep doing it, you know, they feel the responsibility to keep doing it. And so they don't want to go. And it's like, well, but there's other things you can do that you can be helpful and, you know, fulfill whatever it is that you're supposed to be doing, but you can't make them go either. And that's, you know, that's the whole free will thing. I don't understand when people say I cross spirits over. I'm like, no, you don't. You can't cross spirits over. You can suggest, you can guide, you can help, you can recommend. You can't make them. They can leave and you think they crossed over, I suppose, but then they didn't really cross over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If they don't want to, they don't have to, you know. Karin is saying over 100 billion people have lived and died since the beginning of humans. Yeah, just think about that. Mind-boggling.
Because then Mike says in the chat room, how many are recycled? You know, how many are reincarnated souls? And yeah, so you wonder... over 100 billion people. It's not 100 billion souls, but they don't, I mean, souls don't always come back here either. Eventually you move on. You know, it's not just this place that you reincarnate. You don't just come back over and over here. This isn't the end all be all. It'd be silly to think it was, because there's, this is a speck in a, you know, field of flowers, this earth thing. So an infinity field of flowers. So it's a speck on a flower in a field of flowers that goes on forever. So how in the world could this be the only place? It's not. So yeah, it just, but it, then my eyeballs start to spin and my blue smoke comes out of my ears because this is getting bigger than my I can't wrap my mind around it.
Yeah.
Because it's just so big. It's overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. Jerry says over 100 billion served at McDonald's.
Oh dear.
Is it that many hamburgers have been sold at McDonald's? I wonder.
I mean, not at McDonald's. It's like, that's just a weird. Anyway.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then what about, you know, I've heard about these souls that stay because there's still someone here who doesn't want them to cross over because they're just, they're grieving so hard and their pain is so great. And it changed them to the earth, right? Because they feel like they have to stay for this person. So I guess that's the love part, you know?
Yeah. You know, I remember someone that had a loved one who passed, and this was a long time ago. This is a long time ago. And not that this is the only person. There have been other people I've met. But it's interesting. It's sad to watch someone grieve and not move on. They're grieving the loss of a loved one, and they can't move on. Because what it's doing to both parties, it really does... it's very damaging. And I know it's hard, and I'm not giving any timeline to the grieving period, for sure I'm not. But there gets to be a point where you can see their soul, the human, you can see their soul suffering because of this desire to stay attached to the person that has already passed on, you know. And because of that, that person's soul that passed on, that tether, like I mentioned before, it's... a real thing, and it changes both parties, and in not in a good way, it's in a negative way, And it's not about forgetting. It's about healing. It's about transforming. It's about understanding that this is just a stop in the, you know, it's just a place, and then we'll keep moving. So, it's a thing that I have seen where people, they become really, it's almost like illness, but it's not really, it's not what it is. I don't know what to call it. Yeah. There's a damage that happens though, when we hang on for too long.
Well, and like, you know, like, and I agree with this too. We're not, I think when people pass away, we miss them, right? So we grieve for them, but we grieve for ourselves because we no longer have them. And so, and then what about the ones though that, so they're keeping the spirit bound to earth, and then that person passes away, goes to the light and goes to the other side. And then this other spirit is still chained to planet Earth, right? Mm-hmm.
Yep, that can, it can happen. It,
yeah.
It also can set them free. I mean, when, you know, that person finally leaves as well. But doesn't always. And I've seen that too, where someone has been stuck here and the other person's already crossed over. They're gone.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And I have seen that too. And that's really sad because then it's like, oh my goodness. Then there's a process of unhooking them that has to happen. And it takes like all hands on deck. You need spirit to help, not that soul. You need other spirits to step in and say, we need to get this spirit moved. It's, this spirit isn't, they're not going to go on their own anymore. And now they're stuck. It's like a trap that they're caught in. And you have to find other spirits that can help you help them move on.
Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons. And spirits looking for lost babies, Karen says. And we've heard that too, right? Yeah, wow. It's just such a all-encompassing subject. You know, there's just a million possibilities. And it's all complicated. They're all complicated. They all have complications involved. You know?
Yeah, I've been, I saw a gal. She had passed away a couple years before, and I was working with the husband, and he wanted her to go. He understood the process, and he was okay with her. He missed her, loved her dearly, but said, I understand you need to go and you need to move on. But she was so angry that she had died. She did not want to die. Before she died, she was angry that she was dying. She did not want to die. She was angry up until the end. And afterwards, she didn't leave. She found a way to be interactive here. And she was, her anger turned her into something that she wasn't anymore. And so he was really, that was really messing up his grieving process. Because he wanted to just grieve her and love her and remember her as she was. And she was running amok here. And it was not a good situation, and she was becoming incredibly disturbed. That anger in her was changing her to something that was not her anymore. And it was really, it was disturbing, and it was really like almost impossible for him going through this process because he was just wanting to grieve this wonderful woman that he loved. And here she is in this other form of someone who wasn't her. But she knew all of his everything, you know, so she was using that to stay connected to him. And it was not good. It was terrible.
Oh, that would be bad. I think that would be just awful, you know, because obviously she wasn't the kind, wonderful person that she was before all this happened. She had turned into something else, you know, and you know, we just, that's just bad. That's just bad. Dave is saying that when he was tending fire at a funeral, he was the last to do so. And as the fire went out, he was told when he left not to look back because it made her made it harder for them to leave. I can see that too. Just walk away. Yep. Don't look back. Yeah.
And they do. They go through a grieving process. Karen's saying apparently spirits grieve too. Of course they do grieve. I mean, they're sad, you know, at the loss of, you know, what their human life, their, you know, their, the people, the, you know, but the more detached you get, the more you move through the process, the more you understand. I think. But in the beginning, it can be very hard for spirit too, as you're still disconnecting from that human experience.
Kat's saying she's come to the conclusion that there just might be people who stick around at their grave sites, sitting on their stones, whining, griping, and moaning that not enough people visit. Some people choose to focus on whatever they feel wasn't fair in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the cemetery would be the last place I would ever be, you know? And I still think, you know, my mom was really good about, you know, because my auntie Elaine died when I was like 4, right? So she was really young. And I just, you know, I grew up and we'd go to the cemetery once a week and we'd water the flowers and we'd bring new flowers. And, you know, then there were the grandparents' grave and, you know, my mom's grandparents. And it was just the way it was. And I think that makes some people feel good to go visit graves. It doesn't make me feel good. I just cry and cry and cry. And I would just rather not visit the cemetery at all, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's disrespectful, but I really don't think they're there. I mean, their bodies are there. I don't think mom and dad are sitting there waiting for us to come back and say, hey, what's going on? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah. Mike in the chat room said, I noticed several people on hospice didn't pass until the family member left the room for a break. And that does happen, you know, and I know sometimes people feel absolute guilt. Like they sit there holding vigil for hours, days, whatever. And the second they have to leave is when the person passes away. And it's like, then you weren't supposed to be there. You know, they passed when they needed to pass and they wanted to do it without anyone present, or they didn't want you there for whatever reason, and what not to be hurtful. It's just the way it's supposed to be. So, yeah, it's interesting.
It is. And, you know, but when both my parents passed away, we were all with them the whole time. It was awful. Mm-hmm. It was awful. I mean, I'm glad we were there, but, oh, so hard. But, yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. Lots of stuff. Wow, this has really been a good show. Lots of thought-provoking.
Lots of good chat room comments, so thank you, everybody.
Yes, it's always fabulous when everybody joins in the chat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, before we get too far down the hole.
We've got like 4 minutes.
I know. Oh, we do? Oh, yeah. I was thinking it was 8:58. Okay. Dave is saying, I think that whatever you are here is what you are on the other side, and like here, some will continue to grow and learn and some will not.
Yeah. I mean, it depends, because I've seen some change. A lot of times that's true, but there are some that are not the same when they're not the same.
No.
And I have seen some nasty stuff happen to some folks when they, but there's circumstances that I don't even know if I could even understand why, but some of it is those emotions that we aren't ready to let go of, and then it changes people. They're not ready to let go. And if they stay here so long without getting the healing they need, it really messes them up.
Mm-hmm.
Messes up the spirit, because if they're not leaving here, they need their body to be here, right? Mm-hmm. You're at a weird vibration without your body.
Yeah.
It's an icky vibration without your body.
Yeah.
It's an icky vibration with your body. It's worse as a soul without your body to be here. It's icky, and that'll mess you up.
Yeah.
If you stay here too long without a body.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So, everyone, tomorrow night is the Calling Radio Show at 8 p.m., which is our sibling radio show, and yours truly will be on there to talk about our experience at the Humbert Hotel. So join us, because we have some really good evidence, and I'm pretty sure that they're going to be playing some of the EVPs, and hopefully we'll get some of the video stuff out on the SIM website at some point. But yeah, so fun stuff. So join us. And everybody's still talking here in the chat.
Yeah, we could have a 2-hour show on this, I think. We could.
I wish sometimes, yeah.
But we have to go. So
two more minutes, but it's time to go.
I know. Thanks everybody for all the chats.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So thanks everyone for joining. And if there's troops listening, hey, thank you for your service. Be safe. And
absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep. Absolutely. And thank you to everybody in the chat room. Like I said, awesome comments, and they're still going. And everybody listening, wherever you are, we appreciate you here. Sarge, our most amazing producer, thank you once again. And Para X, of course, for hosting us. We love being here. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone. Next week is the Paranormal Smorgasbord. See you then.
Thanks, everyone.